Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Took a little more time with you on the hymns tonight to stress the importance of remembering what they say. And any of y'all that have ever sung next to me, I have a tendency to make up my own words there. So I'm talking to myself tonight as well. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We want to talk about this verse tonight and give you a little bit of something to encourage you. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Brother Hibbets, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen, amen. There are two things that are essential for your heart that are in this verse. And honestly, they are essential for your heart as Christians. One is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's essential for your heart. For one thing, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. But we take for granted in our lives that we will always have a Bible at our disposal. I mean, you got one here with you tonight. You have some at your house. You may have one in your vehicle. You may have one at your office. We're loaded up with these books. But you know, when I was in high school, we had chapel services in the school that I was in. And Harlan Popov came one time and spoke to us. And some of y'all might remember his story, but he was imprisoned as a pastor and didn't have a Bible. And he encouraged us that you just take for granted that you are going to always have this book at your disposal, and you may not have this book at your disposal. And so it is essential to have the word of Christ in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Would it be very difficult to talk to the Sunday morning crowd? Now, they want to look around here and say, well, that guy's not here, so he's talking about that guy. No, I don't mean that. Those guys, I'm talking about that just come on a Sunday morning. This is going to sound wrong already. I got started off on a way I don't even want to continue down this road. But the idea is that a lot of times when people make one service a week, they're just struggling to include that service in their life and maybe get a little bit of Bible reading. To sit down and talk with them about memorizing Scripture is a big bite. But you guys have been here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Sunday school and Wednesday night. You know something? Memorize Scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And here's the reason why. That's how God talks to you. That's what he's going to bring back to your mind when you don't have your hand on your Bible. You may be driving. You may be at work. You may confront a situation. You may suddenly get some horrible news and you don't have it right at your disposal. God will speak to you with the words of God, and he can't talk to you out of his words if you don't remember what he said. Now, in Bible memory, keep your finger here and just look over in John, the Gospel of John. You have a great blessing. John chapter 14, verse 26. You don't have to depend upon weak brain cells to remember these words. You might have to remember somebody else's name, But you don't have to depend upon that to remember these words. John chapter 14, verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he's going to bring those things to your remembrance when you memorize them. And I told you Sunday morning that I've been reading, and I'm just about finished now, Darlene Rose's book, Darlene Rose Diebler, book on evidence not seen. You know what she said? Now she got imprisoned when she was Papua New Guinea, when the Japanese came in and occupied the island, and she was there. I'm losing track of the time in this, but at least 3 years. And they took her Bible away from her as soon as she walked into that camp. But she said, I thank God for all the vacation Bible schools. I thank God for all the Sunday schools that I attended when I was a child, where we were made to memorize Scripture, because God brought all those things back to me. You cannot believe the things that she endured. To tell them now, because we have, people are fussing about cruelty to prisoners when you're just trying to get some information out of them. You can't imagine what they used to do, the way they used to beat them. Just give you one example. One of the things the Japanese would do to get a confession out of you is they would pump water into your stomach. They'd take a 5-gallon bucket and pour water into you until your stomach literally was swelled out like this. You're lying on the ground, just about to drown from so much water, and then they would jump, boom, down on your stomach, or beat your stomach with canes to try to get a confession out of you. You can just imagine the internal damage that would do to you. And you say, well, that's so cruel, and they shouldn't have done that, but you know, war is always bad like that. It's always bad like that. And that's the kind of stuff that they would do, and on and on and on, so many other things. One lady, Darlene's prison was primarily women and children. There were 1,000 people there. They took one of the American women, and after the 2 weeks of torture they put her through to try to get a confession out of her, she lost her mind. And absolutely, she never did get it back. Absolutely, and it mentally insane. And so you look at all that and you're thinking, how in the world did she survive that? In solitary confinement, she had gone to a place where the secret police, their version of the secret police, were interrogating her. They had been told by a Chinese man that she was communicating as a spy. He probably told them that in order to keep himself from being tortured. And so they believed that she was in contact for 6 weeks straight. The things they did to her to try to get a confession out of her were unbearable. And each night in solitary confinement in her cell, the Lord would speak to her when she would pray from the Scripture. You know, people have said, the Lord told me this, or the Lord told me I ought to do that. I always doubt that. In what voice did he speak? But she never said that. It was always, the Lord came to me with this verse of Scripture, and it always applied. So, in your life, not only to be able to help others, but to help yourself, you should memorize Scripture. You really should, because you will need it. You say, well, what should I memorize? Anything you read in here you like. Or perhaps something that the Lord would direct you to memorize. Anything that appeals to you. How do I memorize it? You know how to memorize. The problem is it takes work. But generally what you do is if you mark it in your Bible and review it every day, or put it on a card if you need to and review it every day until you've got it, and then re-review it from time to time. You will need it. The Lord uses it to speak to you. So he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly, in all wisdom. That is essential for your heart, knowing Scripture. It also helps to know where it is in your Bible. I like to read the same Bible. The other day on Sunday, I transposed the numbers on Ezekiel 36:17. It was 37:16. And Randy said, inside left column, middle of the page. We're reading the same Bible. He knew if he told me that, I'd, boom, my eyes would go right to it. It is good to read in your Bible and read out of the same Bible every day, because you will be able to locate things. Even if you're within three pages of it, one way or the other, you put your finger right on it. That's a great thing to do. Great thing to do. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's one thing. And then he says, the second thing, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the other thing that we should sing, remember, and have in our hearts, are the words to the songs that we sing. I have the tunes, but I don't always get the words. Like I said, if I don't know them, I just make them up. They don't do you as much good as remembering. Again, and it's fresh on my mind because I'm reading that book, but again, you cannot imagine how many times Darlene Rose was facing a situation that was enough to cause a nervous breakdown. Her friend lost her mind. And before that happened, the words to a song would come. I'll give you one example. They had interrogated her unsuccessfully. They believed the witness of the Chinese who said that they saw her walking near a certain area, didn't see her with somebody, but as if she was going to rendezvous with the person that she was informing, and that she had a radio in her hand, which she didn't. She didn't own a radio. But he said that, and they believed that, and they interrogated her, beat her just ruthlessly to try to get the confession out of her, which she never did. And then she was staying, the cell she was in, said, the person who occupies this cell must die. That was what was written chalk above the door in Indonesian, and she had learned Indonesian. She knew what it said. So the day came, and they took her out and brought her to the place where there was going to be a firing squad. The verse that she had been given by the Lord the night before was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. This is the verse that she had. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, she got from the Lord the night before. She had just come really to about the end of it, or of herself. And the Lord said to her, who delivered us from so great a death, that's what happened when he saved us, and doth deliver, and she'd been delivered many times before, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And when she got that verse, she was like, praise the Lord, I'm going to be delivered from this. And the next day they came and they brought her and put her in front of the firing squad. And she was like, to the Lord, she's saying, I don't get this. And immediately the words of a song came and she began to sing. It wasn't like she was doing it to comfort herself. She was thinking that she was getting ready to die. And she thought maybe that deliverance meant, I'm going to be delivered into heaven. I'll now be reunited with my husband who has already died from what he endured in his prison. And so that's what she was thinking. But these words started coming to her mouth, and she was singing this song that I'd never heard before, but it was all from memory. And it was a song that gave her this rush of peace and confidence as she sang about the mercy of the Lord and the protection of the Lord. And as the, I say in front of the firing squad, they didn't kill him by firing squad, they killed him with a, cut their heads off. The brain, they called him, which is the chief interrogator, was withdrawing his sword out of the sheath, getting ready to approach her to cut her head off. And as he was bringing the blade out, and she is singing this song, as much by the Spirit of God as anything, because that's not where your mind would be, singing it, she hears brakes screeching behind her, somebody shouting and loud talking in Japanese, and they run in and grab her and take her and put her in that car and drive off. And it's right before they drive off, that guy that's going to kill her, they roll the window down, and he says, if you ever speak to anybody, I will get you. If you ever tell what happened here, I will kill you myself. And they go and take her back where she was, and will yet deliver you. She got there, I have to tell you this piece, she got there, And as they were, there were three of them that were brought back to their prison away from this death row. She got there, there was a lady that she knew more or less who came up to her right away, and she said, Mrs. Deber, come quickly, quickly. And they took her into a shed privately, and she said, your really good friend that is in another prison has been trying for a long time to make contact with you. And very cleverly in this handkerchief, she has stitched something for you. And she told me as soon as you returned, if you did return, to give this to you, and I want to give this to you. And Darlene looked at her and said, you get that out of here now, and you leave me alone now, remembering if you talk with anybody. And so she forcefully got that woman out of her face. Somebody else came in, and that woman was there as a setup. As a setup to the car that brought her with the guy in there was waiting to see if she would take that much cherished news from a friend. They left. You know what that is? That's somebody who is so filled with the Spirit, in whom the Word of God dwells so richly, to whom the songs were so ministered so truly, that at the very time when she needed the protection and guidance of the Lord and the comfort of the Spirit of God, she had the two things in her heart she needed the most, the Word of God and the songs. When we have an opportunity to sing here, think about what you're singing. When we have an opportunity to read our Bibles, you find verses in there that speak to you, get them in you and hold on to them. You might need those one day. Father, thank you today for some encouragement about two very, very important things in our hearts. We ask you please to help us to be encouraged by this verse and by the testimony of one who lived it. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.